You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, naturopathy Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You just cover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationship therapist, Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello. We put the word out to you people on this episode. We often say to you guys, what do you want us to talk about? Send us in your questions. Mum is an accredited sex and relationship therapist. She'll answer them. But one of the questions, one of the things that someone wanted to talk to us about wasn't necessarily sex or romantic relationship related. Someone asked us, they said simply, can you talk about friendship and outgrowing friends? I think that's probably something that we've all dealt with at some point.
Yeah.
Because obviously you're not just a sex therapist. You are a therapist as well. You deal with all sorts of stuff.
Therapist.
I'm sure you deal with lots of different things. Is outgrowing friends and friendships and stuff something that people come to therapy a lot about?
And especially to relationship therapists. So it is something that people come to relationship therapists with. And it's really interesting because it falls into lots of different categories. Like some people fall out with friends because of a romantic relationship they're having. You know, their friends don't like their partner or something like that. That's quite common. But sometimes the relationships, people just go in different directions. So they outgrow one another. Or sometimes people kind of wake up and think, do you know what? The way you behave isn't something I love anymore. You make me feel as if I'm wrong all the time. That's very common.
People
often want to end a relationship because of something like that, where they've put up with that for a long time, particularly when they've known someone since childhood and the person's become more and more neggy over time.
Neggy, yeah. Mm. I always say it's like instead of outgrowing each other, you're like, I think your phrasing there was better, like moving apart from each other, because outgrowing sort of, that's good because it makes it sound like you're on this positive trajectory, but they also might think, let's say, that they're outgrowing you, but they're on a different trajectory that they think is upwards, but in a different way.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be upwards. It can be, as you say, it could be alongside, and you may just want different things or have developed different interests. Sometimes, though, there's some kind of need that keeps people together. So very often people are friends because it's pragmatic to be friends. Like they're on the same course. They live in the same place. They drink together. It's a very common one. Mm-hmm. So there's some kind of proximity which makes them friends rather than that they're thinking, well, this is somebody I really, really want to spend my time with. Mm-hmm. It might just be that they just, it's just convenient. And then sometimes when you're not together, when you, maybe you move away from one another, and then you think, actually, what was it I saw in this person to begin with? Mm. So I'm just thinking, though, there's someone I know who always used to be breaking up with people, would always be going and saying, oh, this friend's irritating me. So mm-hmm. I'm going to tell them I never want to see them again. And I used to think, why do you have to say you never want to see them again? Why can't you just,
yeah, well,
you know,
this is
why do you have to go through all this rigmarole? Why can't you just sort of withdraw a bit? But do you have to kind of break up with friends? Is that really necessary?
Well, this is kind of what we talked about the other day with the ghosting thing, right? And there was that question of, can you ghost a friend? And I think you absolutely can. And to be honest, I almost feel like ghosting friends feels more acceptable than ghosting someone you've been romantically involved with. And I almost think it might even be the preferable way to go. Because like you say, if I went through my contacts list and looked at all the people who I used to consider friends or I used to be close with, and we've just naturally fizzled out of, but I go through each one and text them being like, just to confirm, we're not friends anymore. Just to underline that fact, you know, or to be like, you know, this is why we haven't spoken in 3 years. I don't know whether it's necessarily needed. Is this kind of crazy advice though? Or should it be, I guess you need to weigh up in your head, do you want to continue the relationship with this person? If so, then obviously you just start reaching out and being like, oh, hey, this thing is going on. Maybe we should talk about it. But if you don't, then I guess you just stop talking to them.
I guess when you're drifting apart, you're probably not going to notice that much that you're not talking, and you will just have drifted.
Well, but what do you think though about the, let's say the other end of the spectrum where you guys are pretty good friends, but you're suddenly like, you know what? Let's say I'm trying to drink less and I go out with this person and they're like peddling all the drinks and they're like, oh, go on, let's do it. And they're kind of crazy. And it was kind of fun back in the day, but now you're like, God, this is exhausting.
You've moved on.
I'm sort of worried about them. You know, like in some ways, because I know how I feel now after getting absolutely trolleyed like for every day, for every weekend, you know, for weeks on end. It's exhausting and you just feel terrible about yourself afterwards. So if this person's constantly doing that, you're sort of a little bit worried about them. But also when you do hang out with them, you feel like you should do it because it's what you used to do and blah, 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 blah. Do you say something at that point? Because you still want to be their friend maybe, but you're like, well, can we just not do that side of it? Would you say something there like, oh, hey, listen, I just want to drink less?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's an easy one because you can just say, well, I'm not drinking as much as I used to be.
But then when you're around them, it's hard.
Well, no, so, you know, I don't, can we go somewhere different? Can we not go for a drink? Can we go to the pictures? Can we go, I was going to say go bowling, but you can drink there. But actually, if you went bowling, they could fill themselves up with alcohol while you just, you know, had a Coke or something.
Go
it's not the same.
Yeah. After strike. Well, yeah, but it's interesting. I don't know. It feels weird to say that, to be like, sort of promote ghosting, which Mum is doing now. All right, let's get to the juicy question and let's bring it back to sex before we move on. Can you have sex with a friend?
Yeah, you see, this is the thing. This is why some relationships change, don't they? Because one person starts fancying the other one. Or one day you get tipsy and you sleep with your friend and then you're awkward afterwards and maybe it's changed things and maybe it's not as much fun anymore. I mean, I think that happens quite a lot. And so some people do get into a relationship with friends, but other people find it really hard. And you know, it's something you very definitely have to be careful about, because once you've ruined things with, you know, ruined the friendship and you've introduced all that jeopardy that there is with a relationship, then it's difficult to go back to being just friends again.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think getting with your friend is great because you have this amazing foundation. You know, you guys get along, you know, you sort of like love them or like them for them. And it's not just this facade that you see on dates and stuff. You really do like them for them, which is amazing. But like you say, there's a lot of jeopardy there because you might lose that friendship. It might tear apart a friendship group. So there's lots of things to think about there. But then that is talking about starting a relationship, what about if you guys have this, let's say, drunken hookup or whatever, or let's say you guys are both non-monogamous or whatever, and you're like, oh, we're friends, and when we meet up every now and then, we will have sex, but we're ultimately friends. Is that necessarily true? Is that necessarily possible? Or do people kid themselves?
No. I know lots of people who have friends with benefits and they stop it when they get into a more serious relationship. They sometimes say, okay, I don't want to, you know, don't want to do that anymore. And they go, fair enough.
But then is it awkward afterwards?
No.
Yeah.
Not, what, doesn't seem to be for them. I guess it depends on the individual. But for some people, where it's always been like that, I think, is different to where you suddenly start to see someone romantically when you hadn't seen them that way before. That's different.
If let's say I start going out with someone and they've had one of these relationships with someone else and they don't have sex anymore with each other, but let's say I go to a party and that person's there. Is it the kind of thing where my partner should go, by the way, that chap you're about to meet, I was shagging him for 4 years.
No. I don't think that's necessary.
Really? What if I find out? Can I not be like, whoa, this feels really weird?
Well, it might feel weird, but then you'd have to have the conversation. But I don't think it's necessary until it's necessary. I mean, some people love to confess everything, but generally speaking, it causes all sorts of problems. I guess if you're going to have a lot of contact with somebody and it's really obvious that you have a quite an intimate relationship, you might want to say, well, we used to have a bit of a thing, but it's over. You know, that you don't need to tell anybody more than that. You don't need to give them all the details of the relationship.
I guess the fundamentals there, I get, you know, how you said it sounded flippant, but at the same time, you did say we did have a thing, but it's over. And if that is actually the truth, then it's fine. But yeah, it does, because I think some people do. They are subscribed to this idea of, well, you know, I need to tell you absolutely everything. And maybe that's not true.
Well, especially if you don't know somebody terribly well, I mean, unless you've known someone for years and years and years, you can't know how they're going to react. And some people ask for a load of information and then never let you forget it. And it becomes quite abusive.
So
they just keep saying, oh, well, you know, am I better in bed than Humphrey? Well, huh? You know, Humphrey did it for you in 3 seconds. You know, sorry, I'm not Humphrey. And the other, you know, and you hear about that happening all the time. And people saying, well, you know, the thing with Humphrey's long gone. Humphrey's married with 10 kids. It's not a thing. You know, we see one another at the playground. That's all.
It really just depends also on the individual and whether they could get over it. I do think some people might struggle to be like, okay, well, I know you say it's nothing anymore, but it is now. I feel uncomfortable about it because I can't stop him. Like, you guys hang out a lot, let's say.
Well, exactly. That's one of the reasons for not going on about it. I mean, if everything seems to be okay and there's never been a problem, and then you find out that somebody had a thing with somebody further down the line, well, you might be upset, but it depends on what your rules are to begin with. And this is one of the reasons why couples should talk about what they expect from one another. Because, you know, if I say, which is what I would do, I'm not going to tell you everything about my past because I don't know what's going to trigger you. And, you don't necessarily need to know. Whereas you might say, I want to know everything about your past so that I'm not triggered by finding something out. Then that's very clear from the outset. But where you're both making assumptions about what the other one's going to do, you're going to run into problems, I guess. That's the issue.
Yeah, it's
but this
true.
Is a whole nother subject. This isn't about breaking up with, unless your partner might say, "Well, you can't see that friend. I don't want you to see that friend anymore because you used to have a thing with them, and it makes me feel weird." Well, you know, that might not be a great thing if that's a really good friend.
Hopefully, there'll be a way that you could move forward, keep your friend, and keep your partner.
Well, if it was a new partner, I think I'd keep the friend.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's really, you'd imagine, the only scenario that would really be in. Because then if it was such a good friend, then you reckon that your partner would meet them pretty quickly.
Yeah, potentially. But there may be people that you only see in certain circumstances, you know, that when you're in the playground or, you know, when you're in the pub or when you're at work, if you're not always together.
Yeah.
But I do see loads of people who say, oh, this partner asked me to tell them all about my past, and I have, and now they want me to give up this friend and that friend. And we, you know, I stay in touch with my exes and we're really good friends, whether they were friends first or...
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, why did you ask and torture yourself? And why are you now, now the relationship's going to fall apart? Because you want to know too much.
And that's the problem. And it kind of comes back to something that you said, which I do think it makes sense to say this. But when you say, listen, what happened with Humphrey? Right. Like you said, rightly, you were like, that was ages ago. We're not together anymore. But really what you want to say up top, because you also said that he's married, he's got 10 kids. What you want to say up top is, I'm with you. I love you, or we're going out, all that sort of stuff. That is the top thing on the list. Now to the next thing. I don't fancy Humphrey anymore, or we were just friends and shagging. That's the next thing. Then way below all of that, to further cement it, but less important than the other two things, he also is married, so he's off the table, and he's got 10 kids. Like, I sometimes feel like people hate hearing is when you go, oh, listen, they're nothing. They've got a girlfriend. Then people go, yeah, but that just means that you can't get to them. It doesn't mean that you don't like them. You know what I mean?
But you shouldn't be having conversations like that where you're trying to control your partner. I mean, either you trust them or you don't. And I think it's one person's insecurity. If they have to know all about somebody else, if they want to know everything about another person, and then they're going to let that upset them, and they're going to try and want to control them and stop them from seeing people. This is all about their insecurity. It's not about their friendships. And that's a big red flag, really.
But then the counter argument there would, they'd be like, yeah, but what if they are still flirting and they're still talking on the side? And you're like, yeah, but that's different. That actually means
that
it isn't over.
Well, that actually is different, isn't it?
That is different. And and that means that they are, maybe to your extent, if you have that conversation about what's cheating and not, then they are to some extent. And that's a different thing. Whereas if your partner who's telling you all this says, it's nothing anymore, and then you observe them like a hawk, like you will, and then actually, yeah, it doesn't seem like anything, then you can't, you know, then it is fine. You've got
to trust
them.
Some people will imagine all kinds of things. I mean, some people want their partner to have never known anyone else at all, to have never lived in the world, to have never had a friend or a partner or a dog, or to enjoy fish and chips, or, you know, they only want them to like the things that they like and be around the things that they control. And that's really about their insecurity, and it's not something that you can do anything about. And I would run a mile, quite honestly.
Let's have a listener question that they sent in to us on our Google form, which is anonymous, and you'll find a link to in the bio of this episode and our social media profiles. So it's quite a fun one. Mum, are you ready for this one? Hi, Diggs and Kate. And they put their name in it. Hi, Diggs and Kate. I'm Rachel, NB23 London. And I'm currently in a very happy 3-year relationship with my partner, NB24 London. I do think they mean non-binary and not a buene or whatever. Not a bene. I do think they mean non-binary. But anyway, there you go.
Okay.
My partner has a phobia of dentists, as they had a lot of dental work done when they were young and now refuses to go to one. It's been about 3 to 4 years since they went to one, and they've always pushed back when I've lightly suggested a checkup. His dental health is now concerning me a bit. His toothpaste foam is slightly yellow/bloody each night.
Oh,
There's a funky smell, although faint, even after brushing. He does use an electric toothbrush, but doesn't floss. He grinds his teeth during his sleep as well. It genuinely sounds like marble rattling around in his mouth at night. I'm now hesitant to kiss him on the mouth
as I take care
of my teeth a lot, flossing, lots of water, annual checkups, and scaling. Any advice?
Tell them.
So they say that here, they've mentioned it. They mention it lightly.
Needs to be. Look, I mean, I think I would be saying your gums are bleeding, you need some treatment.
Yeah, the gums bleeding thing, that doesn't suck, because the real horror and terror with that is that it could be gum disease, right? That's what they say.
Yeah, gum disease. It's going to be gum disease. All their teeth will fall out and their breath will be absolutely honking.
Yeah, that's not great.
No, it's not great. I mean, it's and you know, gum disease can affect your heart and things like that as well. It's really not good to have gum disease. If you're spitting out any blood at all when you clean your teeth, you need to see your hygienist. Quick smart.
And it might be that they say, listen, you're just brushing too hard, you know, like, and it's not, and that's sort
really
of thing. Well, mum, this is exactly what they said to me. Because I every now and then had a bit of blood in mine, especially when I was younger, because I brushed way too hard. And they were like, okay, you need to absolutely chill with that. So I don't want to jump straight to the gum disease thing, but I very much knew about the gum disease thing and I put it off. The last time I went to the dentist, luckily, was a few months ago. Before that, it was probably 7 or 8 years. Not because I was scared. Yeah, I know. Not because I was scared, but more because I was just sort of like, I just was putting it off. I was like, oh.
I don't think it's that long because I've been with you to the dentist more recently.
Yeah, but when was the last time?
More recently than that.
That's not true because it was before university. Trust me, it was before university. So
no,
this is the thing.
No, it wasn't.
It was,
Definitely
Mum. It was. No, you're thinking that you're going to come across as a bad mother, but you're not. When as soon as I left your bosom at the age of 18, I went to university and I had to fend for myself. And that is what happened when I had to fend for myself because I was like, I am so lazy that I didn't do it. And I also weirdly got a bit scared. I was like, oh my God, going to the dentist means organizing stuff and looking things up and going outside. Fuck that. But now I'm in a way better place and I've done it and I feel better for doing it. I wonder whether, like, for this person, they need a bit of that energy. They need to be like, right, just bloody do it. Because
Well, no, there are loads of people who are scared of dentists or who think don't need to bother. That's absolutely true. But I don't think you're helping a partner by not saying, look, this could be a deal breaker. Go to the dentist because otherwise they'll just leave it and then there will be a real problem where you really, you know, it's not going to be long before they start realizing that you're not kissing them.
I guess it's going to be a hard conversation. You say, listen, okay, if you don't do it for you now, please do it for me because I don't want to kiss you anymore at this point. I'm worried about kissing you because of your dental hygiene. And
also there are lots of dentists these days who will offer sedation or hypnotism or things like that.
Really? Because they know people are so scared.
Yeah, I have clients who come with fear of going to the dentist and I treat them for a dental phobia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can have that. But I mean, I'd have the sedation. Do you remember when I had the sedation? Brilliant. It's bloody brilliant. Yeah.
Was that the other day when my brother took you home?
That was about 6 months ago. Yeah, it was fabulous.
Yeah, that was terrifying. The voice notes were genuinely terrifying.
Were they?
Yeah, and I actually spoke to him about it the other day and he was like, yeah, that was crazy. You kept telling people there that you loved them.
I did.
Yeah.
I loved everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great, to be honest. So actually, let's turn this into a positive.
Yeah.
Helen gets sedated. It's class.
No, it was great. And honestly, yeah. I don't remember a thing about it.
Well, well, we have the voice notes. So you could, what was annoying is you could work your phone, you could work WhatsApp, which was mental.
No, it wasn't. I wasn't working my phone, was I? Wasn't gully
you
doing
were sending
that.
Us? No, Mum, no. Why would he get?
Well, I don't know because I remember him sending messages and I remember him stopping at a garage to go and get petrol, but I was snoring when he came back.
That's funny. Oh my God, amazing. Well, and also, like, it just. Last thing on this, is it not true that if they go to the dentist now and it's a problem, that means they'll have to go less in the future?
Absolutely.
Imagine, I mean, come on. So do your future self a favour. Keep your partner.
Yeah,
because at the moment, they don't want to kiss you on the mouth.
Mm.
Not great.
No.
Wow. Okay. Real. Well, I think hopefully that is some good advice there that you can take
didn't
away.
Didn't know we were going to be giving dental advice.
We actually talk about the dentist.
Advice.
No, but we talk about the dentist a lot on this show.
Well, that's because do you remember that time they gave me too much anaesthetic?
I do. And if you guys don't remember that, check out our Instagram and our TikTok. It's on there.
That is so funny.
And I think a lot of people found us from that because I put like hashtag dentist and then people were like finding us from that.
Yeah, that was a funny day. But there you go. You see, I had too much anaesthetic and it was funny. It wasn't a terrible thing.
Exactly. Exactly. There you go. Right. Yeah. Well. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Again, if you want to send us a question, you can email it to us, podcast@hatch.com on the email. Or, of course, we're on TikTok, X, formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram. We're at the RSC Pod. Make sure you're following us. For more dental advice. And maybe some sex stuff. And maybe some relationship stuff thrown in there as well.
Just a bit.
And you know what? And if you want some more, subscribe and follow. Open that mouth wide and say ah, because more episodes are coming. Oh, brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.